I'm telling you, if you don't get control of your finances, your friends are going to be going to space. In 2025, you're going to be stuck on Earth. Is that what you want? No. Hi, welcome to another episode of the Unedited series. My name is Ozzy, and today we're going to be talking about something fun. And the cool part is I'm not going to take anything out. So you're going to hear all of it, firsthand reactions, everything. Okay, today's episode is going to be a really good one because the idea came from a question that I posted on my Instagram stories, all right? And so the question was, what one topic do you find hard to discuss with your significant other, all right? What one topic do you find hard to discuss with your significant other? And I'm going to tell you the one topic that I specifically, I guess I used to find that really hard to talk about. And then somehow I kind of just like blurted it out and it became a lot easier, right? Okay, but before we go into that, I am going to take some time to shout out to our fans. And today I'm going to read an email from IBK. IBK says, okay, so she was talking about the last episode, Sex After Babies. So she says, hey, Ozzy, I can't imagine how hard it was to talk about this topic. I've been listening to your podcast recently and enjoying them. Thank you for sharing your journey. Your vulnerability is refreshing. Congratulations on making faculty too. Adekunbi is beautiful and blessed to have you and your husband. Regards to them both. Keep up the great work. You have a fan in me. Aw, thank you, IBK. Thank you so much for taking time out to just send us that email. Very encouraging. Actually goes a long way to help me when I'm, you know, like, I don't have the energy to do this. And I see these emails, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it, you know? So thank you so much. I really, really appreciate you. I hope you like the topics that are coming next. I try to keep it as real as possible. I try to be as honest as I can without giving away my entire life. But thanks so much. And it's great to know that people out there kind of can relate to some things I talk about. So great. Thank you. All right, you guys, people have gone to space and come back, right? I was driving the other day and I heard on the radio that Jeff Bezos went to space and he came back in like under 15 minutes. And I was like, what? If I go to space and I pay $125,000, which is what it's going for right now. So apparently all the tickets for 2024 are sold out completely. So if you want to go to space, they're right now booking for 2025 and it goes for $125,000. But yeah, you have to make a $1,000 deposit, which is refundable, like I hear. So, but the one thing that stuck out to me was that he went to space and came back under 15 minutes. Now, let me tell you guys, if I pay $125,000 for something, you are going to better take me on a 1 week trip. All right. The first couple of days are like fitting for my space suits. You take me like you do like a demo, take me to a place where I can experience gravity first. So I kind of know, OK, even though I'm not going to be out of the jet, this is what's going to feel like. All right. And then like it has to be a whole week. So I feel like you're going to take me on no 15 minute journey and bring me back and say like, oh, that's your trip to space. No, thank you. All right. But hey, this is the broke me talking. Maybe in a couple of years, I'll be so rich. I'll pay for a couple of you to come along. We have like a podcast in space. It'll be fun. But right now, as of August 5, 2021, $125,000 for a 15-minute trip is a bit much for me. All right. But I appreciate that. I love where science is going these days. I'm so excited about it. And I'm here for it, right? So yay for science and yay for all the advancements that are going on. Okay. So yeah, the question on my Instagram story is, what one topic would you find hard to discuss with your significant other? Now, let me tell you some of the answers, all right? I mean, that day I was so busy with the baby that I was trying to repost these answers, but then I realized maybe I should make a whole episode out of it because some of these are really interesting. Someone said finances, another said in-laws, another says religious differences. He's a witness. I am charismatic, in a deep fix because he's a good man. Another says past relationships. Another says, oh my God, giving head and receiving. Someone said giving head and receiving head. I'm not even going to go into that. Okay. So finances. I guess I'm going to end with that. But let's talk about past relationships. All right. So there might be some past relationships and past experiences that you have that you find really hard to talk about. And I really, really, that is so significant, because there are times that, man, in your past, you've done some really, really bad stuff, right? And not even bad stuff, but sometimes embarrassing stuff where you're just like, ah, I wish, I don't want anyone to ever hear about this stuff that I did. And then you're now in this new, nice, peaceful relationship. And you're just like, oh my God, how am I going to tell my significant other that my ex-boyfriend duped me of $1 million, right? Like, or like, how am I going to tell my present relationship or my present spouse or my spouse right now? How am I going to tell them that I used to be a stripper? Like, sometimes for some people, they don't think that that's a dignified way of earning income. And so if they used to be a stripper in their past, they're like, I don't know how to bring this up because I'm, you know, fear of judgment, really. So what I'd say is that I used to do this thing with really, really, like, if I find something to be really serious, I just play it down. So if I were a stripper in my past and I'm now with someone new who is like, I know that, oh my God, this guy's my piece, you know, or this relationship is where I want it to be. And I want to talk about the past, the fact that I used to be a stripper. I'll be like, first off, I'm not even going to address it as a serious, like, I won't be like, oh, I have to talk about something serious with you where you just have to sit down and get all serious. I'm like, oh, you know, I give all this preamble about how what I'm about to say is so serious. No, because the more you build that expectation of, oh my God, this is so serious, let's go to the living room and sit down, and it becomes a serious thing. So for me, it would be like after a really good round of sex, I would bring up the topic and be like, can you imagine? There's nothing that someone will not do for money in this life. And you'll be like, hey, what? And then I'll say, can you imagine that when I was in college, and this is, that's what the story is. When I was in college, the one time I was so broke that one of my friends was like, see, before hunger will finish you, come and do this thing and get money. And I was like, I was so broke to the point that, in fact, I thought I was going to die of starvation. And so they took me to this place, so... And then next time I saw one long pole on the wall, they said that if I just spin around it a couple times, that they will pay me. I was like, eh, like that. Next thing I know, they said, they gave me $1,000 at the end of the night. They were like, okay, come back tomorrow. Okay, so not the best example, but what I'm trying to say is, I kind of make light of things like that. Like, and I really don't know anyone that likes to talk about past relationships in a new relationship. So if you're in a new relationship, I think maybe once or twice is even much. Like, you talk about it the one time and it's done. Put that away. So first I would say, talk about stuff yourself. Like, bring it up yourself where you're like, this is what happened. You know, say it in a light way and then move on. The reason why I say talk about it is because someone else is going to talk about it, right? And you want to be able to control your own narrative. Talk about your stuff. Address it so that when someone else meets your significant other or someone, you're like, ah, there your babe, let me even tell you, he'll be like, oh, was it a time where she was stripping, or was it, you know, like, because he already knows. But if it's something that you don't bring up and someone out there is like, ah, let me even tell you, I even have pictures, you know, it would be very damning, and you may not be able to fully recover from it, because it always be like something that hangs. I mean, it's a load, you know. So I would always say, find a way to talk about it bit by bit, right? And you'll be fine. Okay, someone says giving head and receiving head. So I'm going to talk about it a little bit. I'm not going to explain what those are, but what I'm going to say is that these are sexual references. So what you do with your partner is your business, really. But everybody has boundaries to what they can and cannot do, right? So if that's what your boundaries are, then that's okay, right? But what I'm going to say is that there's nothing that is respectable or decent about good sex, right? It's dirty. That's just what it is. That's what animals are having on the side of the road every single day. They're not booking a hotel room somewhere, right? They don't even care who's looking. So if you start to overthink it, right, you may begin to think that some things are like not dignifying and other things are. Not to say that you shouldn't have boundaries, but I'm saying that even as a microbiologist, there are times when I'm thinking about stuff and I'm just like, oh my God, this is nasty, you know. But that's what sex is, nasty. So have your boundaries, because I have my boundaries as well, but know that there's no respectable way to do it. Some things are just going to have to get in there and just do, while other things are like out of bounds, right? But I really like that you know what your boundaries are and that you guys are on the same page. The most important thing, you're on the same page. If you're not on the same page, that's where the problem is. If one person is like, this thing, I'm a scientist and this thing is like germs and all that, and the other one is like, because she's voicing out that this is something she doesn't like, I'm not going to say what I really want because I don't want her to be like, oh my God, we're not on the same page, right? So as long as you both agree and as long as you have clear boundaries, that's fine. Okay. The religious differences. This is a big deal. I'm not even going to lie to you. This is a really big deal because sometimes you might even be in the same church or the same house fellowship with someone, or you may even live in the same house with someone, but you share different religious beliefs, right? And a belief is something that you cannot convince someone out of. It it's just so hard. Like, they have to come to a place where something happens and they're like, okay, I no longer believe in this stuff, right? Or maybe they have some magical revival or something. Religious differences are big. So I grew up in a congregation where we don't even wear earrings, right? And I now have a daughter, and my husband didn't grow up in the same setting. So in his setting, it was fine to pierce your ears and wear earrings and jewelry and all that stuff. Now he's like, are we going to pierce our daughter's ears? And I'm like, oh, I don't think so, right? And because that's not a deal breaker for him, it's something that, if you want to, if you don't want to, it's fine. Then it's okay. But imagine if it was a man who was like, no, my daughter must wear jewelry. Like, no, you know, something as simple as that could even cause problems. Another example is, let's say you're with someone, and I'll tell you, during the relationship phase, there is no amount of communication you have that once two people are in love, you cannot even advise them. Just forget about it, because you enter from one ear and come out from the other ear. So this is what I'm saying. So you may still go ahead and do what you want to do. But because you asked the question, I'll give you my opinion. Everything I'm saying is my opinion. It's not, don't take it as what you have to do, but it's just what I've noticed. And what I've noticed with people around me, right? So religious differences are a big deal. There are sometimes when you marry someone, you may be praying that God give me a religious man or someone who is really into going to church and things like that. And then he gives you someone who is really into going to church, and you're like, this one is going to church too much. I like church, but not every, like not like three times a week. And that becomes a problem. So, or let me even use the one that's even affected me at some point, speaking in tongues, right? And there was a time when I was talking to someone who used to speak in tongues, and at some point he would be like, pray. And then I would pray, he would be like, that's it. You know, he used to feel like my prayers were weak because I didn't speak in tongues. And for me, it became something of almost like resentment, because nobody wants to be with someone who thinks that their spirituality is weak, right? So again, be on the same page, so that when someone starts speaking in tongues, you won't feel left out, or you won't feel like you need to start making up words, or you won't feel like, you know, even got to the point where it was like, have you received the Holy Spirit? You know, that kind of thing. So it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And sometimes I've heard of people, and I've not seen anybody, but I've heard of people who are okay Christians marrying Muslims, or even like different denominations intermarrying. And it's like, oh, it works because we respect each other. I bet you 9 times out of 10 that one person is compromising. One person is like, okay, I'm going to put myself aside and just go with this one, right? So marriage is hard enough. You know, if you're going into it, I think you want to minimize the things that will make you quarrel, and the things that the you want to minimize the differences, right? As much as you can. No two people are the same, but you want to minimize the things that will make you get into arguments. And I feel like that religious one, my sister, it's a big one. But if you are ready to have a conversation right now and be like, okay, in 5 years time when we have kids, how do we want to raise these kids? A lot of times, maybe women are ready to have those conversations, maybe some men are ready to have those conversations, but usually when people are in relationships, they're not really ready to think 5 years down the line. Everybody just wants to have fun. So if you can have a frank conversation about how you want your family to look like, if you can, and that works, then that's fine. Number two, if you're ready to compromise, I always say, think about the worst case scenario. What's the worst that can happen? The worst that can happen in this case, what you've written, is that you become a witness, you know? Would that be so bad if you became a Jehovah's Witness? Would that be so bad? If in your wildest dreams, that's like the worst thing that can ever happen to you, then that's the worst that can happen. So you're not, you shouldn't go into it, regardless of how nice they are, how such a good, great person they are. That great person may not be a great person for you eventually, right? So that's what I think. I think you can make it work, definitely. If you have a frank conversation, and if one person is, or two people are willing to bend and accommodate the other person. But most times, you're not going to even think about this. Advice I'm giving you is going to be useless, because people in love, they don't need to take advice. So yeah, I'm just going to put it out there, but do what you want to do. All right, in-laws. Okay, I kind of touched on this last week where I was like, for in-laws, I think it's best when you deal with your family and he deals with his. Basically, your significant other should deal with their family. You deal with yours, right? That way, because sometimes the way I talk is I'm a jokester a lot of the time, right? But if I were to deliver something important to my in-laws, they might not really understand that this is a serious thing being delivered lightly, right? They may say, oh, she's not being serious, but I'm being serious. I'm just trying to be nice about it, right? So it's better when the person who they know and understand very well delivers really crucial information to them. I think that's, except you have in-laws that are like your family, you know, and sometimes it takes a while to get to that level. So I would say dealing with your in-laws, let your spouse handle it, deal with his and you deal with yours. Okay, so finances, you guys. Okay, so that's where we're going to spend a lot of time today. Finances is a big one, right? And the reason why I say it's a big one is that I have personal gist, right? So when I got married, we both have our accounts, but then we have a joint account, right? And as long as we're putting in whatever we need to put in there, it's fine. But there, you know, you really have to be open about how you're spending your money, really, because it's a big deal. You're gonna have a lot of conversations about money. So I'll give you an example. I had these credit cards that I, you know, would use routinely, and you'd be like, I can just buy this stuff, I'll pay it off, you know. And then you, before you know it, you're carrying a balance, and then you're not paying it off. And then that, having that conversation with my spouse about, oh, this is how much credit card debt I have, was a big deal. Because then he would see, because, you know, with the credit card statement, you see exactly what you're buying. He'll see that it's not even like she's doing any philanthropy. It's like she's putting her money to shoes and bags, you know? And it's okay if you're doing that, but if you're carrying a balance on that, then that's not something that I was proud of, right? But 2 years into the marriage, I actually sat my husband down one day and said, because he kept trying to talk to me about it, like, okay, you know, do you have any debts? Do we need to pay anything off? I'll be like, don't worry, everything's fine. But he's a money guy. He came from investment banking, an investment banking background, right? So he's like on the money. So he was like, no, let's talk about like money. Let's talk about, before we start making these investments, let's find out how much we're owing, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I don't want to talk about it. Because somewhere in my mind, I just wanted to push aside any of that stuff, right? For me, that's the conversation that I find hard to talk about, is how I'm using my money. So one day we actually sat down and talked about it, and I just started from the least credit card that I owed. I was like, it's true. I'm even owing like 150 on this card. And he's like, that's not a big deal. I'm like, there's another card though. I think that one is 450. And he's like, okay, that's fine. And then, you know, as I began to see that he wasn't overreacting, because usually it comes from a place where you think the other person's going to judge you. So as I began to see that he wasn't overreacting, I then began to talk about, okay, this is how much. Then eventually, okay, this is it. And then he said, you know, the thing that struck me was that he was like, okay, that's fine. You know, what I'm going to do is, if you want, I'm going to design this Excel spreadsheet that will, you can plug in, and he put all these formulas on there. So he has a column that will show you how much you're making from all your sources of income. And then you make a simple, it's just like a budget. You make a simple column for your expenses, where your money is going to every single month. And you can see from that column that at the end of the month, I don't have $4,000 to spend. I actually have $250. That's how much I have after I've paid off all my bills. And then, so when you're walking into the store next time, you don't have this mindset of, oh, I have $4,000. No. You're walking in with, I have $250, and is this how I want to spend my $250, right? So I guess for me, it was talking about that, how I was spending my money, and just really getting feedback on that. You know, that was a conversation I thought was going to be really difficult, but it turned out to not be so difficult. So another thing I've learned in marriage is that it's not even the big things that cause problems. It's the tiny things, the overlooking, like not being direct about something. Someone ask you a question and you'd be like, oh, you don't give full details. These are the things that cause problems, not even the big things that you guys think about. So yeah, that was it for me. But you know, if you're going to use my approach, I'll say be mindful about how you spend your money, because one of these days you're going to be looking, you have a really nice car, but you can't go on vacation because you have no cash. You're seeing your friends going all over the place. And I'll tell you, once I got that in check, I was able to pay everything off. And not only that, I was able to save. Because if you don't get control of how you're spending money, it doesn't matter how much you make. Someone once told me that, so someone who's making $350,000, who has poor money habits, right? Not saving anything. Someone who makes $50,000 in control of their finances is saving $20,000 a year. Who is more financially stable? The person making $50,000. So you have to really get a hold of how you spend your money. All right. Okay. So that's about difficult conversations. I say you just have to, you know, have those conversations when you're ready, but be open to accepting help. All right. I don't know. I feel like my baby's awake. Ah, she's awake. Let me call Addy to take care of her while I finish up this episode. Yeah. Hello? Hey, baby.
Hey, what's up?
I'm okay. Baby's awake. Do you mind taking care of her while I just finish up the episode?
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Bye. Let me check on her real quick. Make sure she doesn't crawl out of her crib.
Welcome back to the Tales of an African Princess in America podcast.
I am back. All right, I'm back. All right, Ade is sitting here with the baby, and I am able to return to my episode. Okay, so I said that someone said, you know, spend your money wisely. You'll be able to do all the things that you thought you could never do. All right. Okay, so that's it for today, you guys. I'm telling you, if you don't get control of your finances, your friends are going to be going to space in 2025. You're going to be stuck on Earth. Is that what you want? No. All right, you guys, that's the end of the episode. Of course, remember that you can let us know how, well, you know, what is the one topic that you find really hard to talk about with your significant other? If you've conquered it, how did you do it, right? And if you haven't, what is it? If you want to talk about it anonymously, you can send an email to talesbydroz@gmail.com or go in the show notes and you see a link to leave a voice message, right? I hope you make it count today. I hope I was able to entertain you a little bit. I know a lot of you have been saying your commute is a lot longer and you would like this episode to be a little longer. I'm taking that into consideration. But remember that I only give what I can. Okay. I only really give what I can. Yeah, let us know what you guys think. Follow us on social media, African Princess in America on Instagram and Facebook. And be a part of the family. All right. All right, take good care of yourselves and I'll talk to you in the next episode. Bye-bye.